Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James J. I am joined by our co-host, Seth Haphagger.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Call up and join the conversation, everybody. Love to hear from you guys. Call up and join us anytime throughout the show with any of our topics. Mm-hmm. Got some entertainment news to kick things off in the hour. Otherwise, we'll also get into the decades we are most nostalgic about.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some tips for you for daylight savings time.
All right.
All that coming up. Some good stories of the day. We'll get into our schedule as well.
All right.
But we kick off with entertainment news, and we're talking a little Forrest Gump. When you think of the movie Forrest Gump, that 99% of the audience, I believe, has seen,
mm-hmm.
do you think of this movie having a villain?
Actually, yes, I do. Hmm. Sadly, I think there is a villain in this movie.
I hadn't ever thought of it that way before. Mm-hmm. And honestly, when I saw this article and was reading it, it made me think a little bit of that. And I'll give my answer, and I want to hear yours in a second here. But have you ever heard the theory that Jenny is the villain in Forrest Gump?
Yep.
She pops in and out of his life whenever it's convenient for her and doesn't commit to him until she finds out she has an incurable disease. And she brings along their son, whom she never bothered to tell him about. Well, Stephen Colbert asked Robin Wright about this on his show this week, and it turns out that she hadn't heard the theory until just before the show, and she kind of agrees with it. She says, quote, "Think about how she treated Forrest. Not great." It's interesting that Robin doesn't have a defense for her own character, because there is one, and it is pretty solid. Jenny was sexually abused by her father.
Mm-hmm.
Part of what they're trying to show you is people that are abused and how we can be about sexuality growing up.
Right.
There are a lot of, and it tends to go one direction or the other very dramatically.
Yes.
Everything is a case-by-case basis.
Of course.
But in a movie or a TV show, of course, they're going to try to give you an umbrella effect of
mm-hmm.
this,
mm-hmm.
and that is Jenny's character.
Right.
I've never saw Jenny as a villain, because I understand this because I went through my own stuff.
Right, exactly.
Now, if you didn't, like a lot of people out there, I mm-hmm. could see how you wouldn't put that connection together.
Right.
I think that storytelling-wise might have been a better idea if
right.
you were going to touch on these subjects to spend some more time
right.
on them. That being said, I also know that, you know, there's editing rooms are filled with
yep.
you know, plot points that we're missing out on and stuff.
Let me put it this way. I think and maybe, I don't know if it was conscious, like Robert Zemeckis was trying to do this when he directed the film. I think she is portrayed as the villain. I personally don't think she is, because of what you were just saying, James, about getting the whole story out there. But I think in a lot of ways she is portrayed as the villain, because you've got, you know, the simple man, you know, and it taken advantage of all the time by her and all this kind of stuff. And then, again, I don't know if Robert Zemeckis said, I'm going to make her the villain. I don't know if he did that either.
Yeah,
but that's
yeah.
how it comes across.
I think that there you can have two thoughts in your head at once.
Exactly.
You go through abuse, you go through bad things, and that's horrifying
mm-hmm.
and it's horrible, and we have empathy for it. But you lose that when you start mistreating others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what we're seeing with Jenny's character.
Right.
We see her go through horrible things as
mm-hmm.
a child,
yep.
and our empathy is at 100 for her.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts to go down as she mistreats Forrest and maybe even her own son
yep.
and some of these other things. And even the way she doesn't, you know, it also isn't clear if she took good care of herself either when
right.
she was diagnosed
mm-hmm.
and everything, which
exactly.
is an important plot point to anybody. If you know anybody who has dealt with the HIV virus,
yep.
that's an important plot point.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that got missed, that are ended up on the cutting room floor, I'm
right.
guessing, if they were even brought up.
Right. Who knows?
Because you're also... Look, a documentary is one thing, those kind of things. This is entertainment.
Yes.
We lose sight of that way too often. I have never expected entertainment to be perfect. I don't think you should touch on certain subjects if you're not going to do it right, but I didn't direct the movie. I didn't get greenlit for that.
Yeah.
And I also don't have to watch it if I don't want to.
Yeah.
I think of movies like Forrest Gump, one of the things I appreciate about them is it gets away from, I feel, the whole good guy, bad guy thing.
Yes.
Life is oftentimes, more times than not, there are no villains.
Nope.
There are no good guys or bad guys. There are just people. It's just life. And that's what I feel like with Forrest Gump.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, you know, funniness to it. There's a lot
right,
of sweet
yeah.
moments to it, certainly. But so much of this movie
yep.
is life is it's entropy. and things just happen. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're in the right place at the right time, and sometimes you're not. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that movie shows you that over and over and over and over again.
Right.
And the last thing,
right,
I
in
think
an exaggerated of, way. I mean,
absolutely.
Which is part of the fun, right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
makes it a fun movie, right?
Again, I'm not watching the movie for 2 hours to see Forrest do nothing.
Right.
To
exactly.
To not run into celebrities right. and all these things. That's part of what the movie's built right. on. And that's a part of what we watch.
And it's a fabulous movie. You know, we can read anything in there. We can talk, you know, about Winston Groom, the author of the book, saying they totally missed my book. They don't know what, well, I'm not sure what they did, you know, kind of thing. Or all this. But it's a good movie. It's well made. It's fabulously acted. It's just a really good movie.
There is movies that came out last year that you can go and look at and say, well, that didn't age well.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as like how movies age or things that don't fit to our modern times or mm-hmm. our modern compass or, mm-hmm. you know, or any, our moral compass or any of these things, I don't know that any of us get the right to judge that.
Right.
Like time will judge that, you know, the scholars and these kind of things. You know, we all are all entitled to our opinions, but none of us are gatekeepers here. None of us get to. And guess what? All of us that think we're all advanced and woke right now, 20 years from now, they're going to be laughing at us saying, oh, God, you right. guys did that. How dare you? You guys did this.
Yeah, exactly. I look back at the 90s and I thought at the time I'm like, wow, things are really. And I look back like, whoa,
yeah,
oh, boy.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of thing.
Same.
And that's, to me, the value of film.
Mm-hmm.
We can always go back and reevaluate. We can always go back and see, you know, how things have changed. And that's why it's so important and valuable to have these things and be able to see them.
Entertainment is not just for entertainment. It's also a time capsule.
Yep. It's a reflection of what's going on.
How many times you watch a movie in the 60s or 70s and you look at the gas prices or that they
right.
have telephone booths or things? These are how we keep these things around for younger people, but also how we just have nostalgia, just have interest and learn from things as well.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting list here. A recent study analyzed the lyrics of the top Billboard artists and iconic musicians to find out which artists have the highest lexical diversity in their lyrics.
Okay.
It's an interesting thing.
That's an interesting study. Okay,
And not one that I don't know if I would want to do. as much as I love the word lexicon and I love words.
Right. That's fascinating. Okay.
Some interesting bands on here.
Okay.
You know, Radiohead, Toby Keith, both at 43%.
Wow.
So interesting. And to see those two artists back to back.
Interesting.
And then it gets even more interesting because the majority of the list is hard rock or heavy metal. Iron Maiden, Judas Priest at 44%, Jimi Hendrix at 44%, along with Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan and Jimi Hendrix have the same lexicon in their lyrics.
Wow. That's a... actually, that kind of makes sense to me. It makes sense to me, yeah.
The Eagles and Megadeth have the same... That's a little more out there. That's a
wow, Dave
there.
Mustaine, who knew?
Now, you wouldn't be surprised to see Bruce Springsteen high on this list mm-hmm. in the top five mm-hmm. at 46% of some of the most widespread or biggest lexicon of music and author history mm-hmm. and all that. But how about in your top three? Slayer at number three with 51. Pink Floyd at number two.
Totally makes sense.
And at number one, Black Sabbath. Yeah.
Knocked me over with a feather.
Yep. Didn't see that one coming. That's the third time I've read that. It has boggled my mind each time. But if you grew up in a house like I did with a father like I did that mm-hmm. loved Black Sabbath, you get it a little bit. I mean, some of these other bands, it's a little more surprising to me to see some of these newer bands like a Megadeth or a Judas mm-hmm. Priest or Iron Maiden. And by newer, I mean like newer, later than them.
Right.
But when Black Sabbath came out, there was literally nobody doing what they were doing. Nobody. There was nothing like it out there.
No.
We're talking about a time where it was all peace and sunshine and love and daisy chains and all that stuff and everything. And Black Sabbath were like, hey, our lives aren't like that.
Right.
We want to write about what it's like to be here in the poor end of Liverpool and mm-hmm. everything and some of that. And in order to do that, they were still coming from a time where lyrics really mattered.
Mm-hmm.
Where lyrics were vitally important to your song, not just being a hit, getting published. unless you were a jazz artist, you weren't getting public. That song wasn't getting made if they didn't like the lyrics. Most companies, most record producers and everything. So of course they had to work on their lyrics. Mm-hmm. They had that. You can make the argument they had to try even harder than most people if they were going to get people to like their music. Because right. again, nobody was doing this.
It was a harder kind of music to get into. Right? Yeah. It's not easy. It's not the three chords that everyone loves. And loves to listen to. It was much more heavy. Obviously, that's what they call it, heavy metal. But heavy and not accessible. And I think you're right that the lyrics would help you put your foot in the door.
Put aside the music and just read the lyrics of War Pigs. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good lyrics. Right. It's a pretty good writing right there. Mm-hmm. There's a handful of them that certainly there's other songs that could throw this algorithm completely off.
I'm sure.
But it's not as if that they didn't. Yeah. They weren't songwriting. They weren't trying. They weren't mm-hmm. Working at the process and everything. Yep. Just a little wild to see Bob Dylan way on down the list behind some of these other artists.
I have to do a caveat on this one because if it were for lesser known bands, I have to put in a pitch for my favorite band. They might. Might be Giants, because some of the lyrics that they have used in their life, cephalophore, they have used the word, which is a miracle where people, you've seen the saints, like a saint that's holding their own head because they were decapitated, mm-hmm. That's what that is. A cephalophore is a person who is walking around holding their own head. They use that in a song.
I mean, how many people have written hit pop songs about that? It's just, we come up with a new topic. they are such an awesome band. Yeah, such a great band.
But they're not popular enough to be on a list like that.
They really should be. Yeah. They really should be. I love bands that do that. And a lot of, to be fair, bands like of that genre. I don't know if you call it math rock. I don't know how you word that. I know there's some terms that they've used to label it and everything. But some of that has something.
Yeah.
What's new on your big screen, small screen, and your local theater stage? Today on Disney Plus, the music of John Williams. When you hear the term GOAT a lot in life, in sports and all these things, and there's usually a debate about it. Mm-hmm. There is no debate. John Williams is the GOAT of composing.
Of film composers, there's no question. Absolutely no question.
If you want to debate me on this, I reference his hits, Jaws, Superman, E.T., Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Harry Potter, and this is just a couple. They're not even giving
these are all, every one of those themes, everyone knows.
Yeah.
Even if you've never seen those movies, you know those themes.
I don't know if there is a more impressive career in entertainment than John Williams. I seriously, of all entertainment, everything from photography to mimes to anything, man, I don't know anybody that has a career like John Williams.
How many Oscars has he won? Like 800? I don't know. It's amazing. Yeah.
To the point where he's selling them on eBay, I think. He doesn't even need them.
I don't need these.
Prince William is on Disney Plus as well. Prince William, We Can End Homelessness, a two-part documentary about Prince William's first year working with the Royal Foundation's Homeward Program. On Paramount Plus, The Dead Don't Hurt, a Western written and directed by Viggo Mortensen.
Really?
Yes, you had me at Western written by Viggo Mortensen, let alone him starring in a Western.
The Dead Don't Hurt?
Yeah.
Interesting title, but I'm with you, man. I'm a big fan of Viggo.
And that title is such a throwback. A Fistful of Dollars.
Very spaghetti Western feel to it, right?
God, yeah. I miss those titles and I miss those movies so much. I hope it's like that. I'm definitely watching that one. He plays, it stars Vicky Krieps as well as a woman separated from her husband by the Civil War who has to fend for herself in a corrupt town when a rancher's violent son takes an interest in her.
I love the Dutch dude doing the American Western mm-hmm. thing. That's cool. I like that.
United Way benefit for hurricane relief is going to be on CBS and CMT Saturday night at 7. It's a one-hour special to benefit victims of the hurricanes.
Very cool.
Chris Jansen, Clay Aiken, and Tyler Hubbard will be performing.
Oh, okay.
You've got John Mulaney hosting Saturday Night Live this weekend with Chaperone as the music guest. That's going to be huge. Mm. That is going to be a big one. Mulaney always brings in a big audience, and Chaperone is one of the biggest stars in the world, or music stars in the world right now. Sunday Night Football, Minnesota Vikings host the Indianapolis Colts. Could be a good one. Could be good. We'll
see. Now that it's Flacco time, might be seeing a shootout.
Yeah, it could be. And on your big screen, a lot of movies going to be released in limited release. A Real Pain. Jesse Eisenberg wrote and directed this movie where he and Kieran Culkin play cousins who reunite for a Holocaust tour through Poland to honor their grandmother.
Ooh.
The trailer looks great.
Wow.
Both of them are really good actors. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of Kieran Culkin. And the subject matter and everything certainly pulls me in as well.
Right.
Looks like a good one. Blitz. This is another one that looks really good. When the Germans started bombing London in World War II, Sarah Ronan sends her 9-year-old son to safety. But after the kid defiantly leaves the England countryside, tries to return to his mom, she desperately starts searching for her missing son.
Hmm.
This is directed by one of the better directors out there. Steve McQueen.
Oh, yes, yes.
Who directed the Black Panther movies.
He did 12 Years a Slave.
Yes.
That was the one he won the Oscar for, I believe.
So this is his kind of, it's a World War II movie, just a very different take on
yes.
it from a different angle.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I watch anything involving World War II. So I will definitely, and he's one of the better directors out there. It looks really good. Liam Neeson is beating people up again. Absolution. But this time he's doing it with a 90s mustache. So... Liam Neeson plays an aging boxer working as a hired muscle for a crime boss, Ron Perlman.
Well, he is an aging boxer because he was a boxer early in his career. Yeah.
God bless him. Keep doing it, Liam. Keep doing it.
Earning that paycheck.
Maybe the most interesting movie coming out, not only in recent memory, but this weekend, Tom Hanks and Robin Wright reunite with their Forrest Gump director, Robert Zemeckis, for this drama, Here. It's rated PG-13.
Yeah.
It takes place in a single room over 100 years, and the camera does not move at all.
Yeah, stationary camera. Interesting experiment, yeah.
Paul Bettany, Kelly Reilly played Tom's parents.
Wow.
I believe that they did some aging work mm-hmm. with this
they
one
sure
as
did.
Well for the characters. I am fascinated by this to see I don't know if it's going to be good. But I love the attempt. I love that it got made.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you have the people working in this that you do. You've got pros, like incredible mm-hmm. people at their craft doing this, which you need if you're going to ask an audience to watch a movie like this.
Like this one, yes. You have to find the entertainment value in that. And it's one of the very few trailers that I've ever seen where they actually are explaining it.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks is explaining what it's all about. Because I can understand people would be very confused if they just showed clips. From the movie. So I like the idea of them doing that. And that's okay. You can explain your movie. I don't mind you doing that.
And Hit Pig, rated PG. It's an animated movie starring Jason Sudeikis as Hit Pig, a bounty hunter who catches escaped animals and returns them to their owners. Rainn Wilson is in this one as well. A couple of other big names. Anita, RuPaul. Got a bunch of people in that one. I haven't seen any trailers for that. I'm surprised.
Interesting.
And we want to remind everybody that our great friends over at Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater wrap up the run of Matilda this weekend.
Yes.
Today and tomorrow, 7 o'clock shows over at the Century Theater at 1800 North Point Drive in Stevens Point. Go check this one out. Support this amazing cast, these amazing kids mm-hmm. taking a wonderful show. You got today and tomorrow, 7 o'clock at the Century Theater to get those to take in this show. You can find out more at CWAC.org. CWAC.org. Encourage mm-hmm. you to do that, everybody.
Yep.
We will take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We hope you're having a fantastic Friday out there. Thanks for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
Seth and James here with you. Going to make sure to take good care of you, lead you right into our wonderful news and sports
yes.
segment and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking forward to that, but I want to get into this one with you, Seth, first. And in a little bit later in the hour, we're going to get into the decade we're most nostalgic about, and we've got some prep for you for daylight savings time
that's
coming
right.
up. But this one right here I thought was kind of interesting.
Okay.
The greatest 21st century philosopher, Jennifer Aniston. maybe not, but she's one of them. She's
all right, all right.
She said once, there are no regrets in life, just lessons.
Okay.
It's a good line, actually.
That's not bad.
Right there. It's a good bar. Well, in a new survey, only 11% of Americans say that they don't have regrets. And we're more likely to regret the things we didn't do, 55%, than things we have done, 32%. And we hang on to them. One in three boomers have a regret that spans three decades.
Wow.
And it still crosses their minds an average of three times per month.
Oh. Wow.
The average millennial says their biggest regret happened 11 years ago.
Well, that's
so like
specific.
in sixth grade or something?
I guess, I don't know.
And on the plus side, 64% of people believe that their decision-making has gotten better as they've gotten older.
Okay. All right.
So, I want audience participation on this one.
Okay.
You guys all got the morning show play-at-home version years ago, I'm sure. That's your phone. Call up 715-424-2600. Join the conversation. How do you feel about regrets?
Mm-hmm. Do you regret them? No.
Yes. Discuss. I don't know. This is a subject that it feels a little foreign to me, Seth. I don't really believe in regrets. Now,
okay.
I'm no different than anybody else out there. There are things I'm sure if I pressed myself that
right.
I chew on from time to time or whatever. But I cannot stress enough, I have had an incredibly weird life. I have had a very random, weird, just insane life. And all I would like for the last half of my life or whatever I got time left, I would love it to just be normal.
Just like stable.
Yeah, just
you know?
Stable. Just some of that. But that being said,
right.
I really believe in having an entropy agility.
Oh, interesting. Did you just coin a phrase there? You might have.
I've been saying it for a while.
Okay.
But it's something that I've held to my close to me for a long time because of this crazy life.
Mm-hmm.
And just being, you know, there are certainly, you know, putting your hands up to the sky and saying why.
Sure.
I was raised to look inward and say why. And look at just how things happen,
mm-hmm.
and not necessarily put blame anywhere, but more so this is life,
mm-hmm.
and these are how things happen. Accountability is one thing, and learning from our mistakes is something,
mm-hmm.
but regretting something, it just, I don't know, my brain doesn't really process it, because I understand, I just feel like I understand these things a little bit better. I take a third perspective to most things.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, well, if I took this out of the equation, how do I know everything that followed would follow?
That's a good point.
And I don't want to lose anything that I have. I've worked very mm-hmm. hard to have what I have in life. I don't want to lose any of it. So if you're telling me, hey, you can go back in time and change this one thing. Well, how do I know it doesn't change everything?
Exactly.
I'm not willing to take that risk.
Ah.
So I got no interest in looking back at into regrets.
Right.
That doesn't do anything for me. I'll look back at the past and learn from it,
mm-hmm.
but I'm a quarterback. I look back, I learn from my mistake, and then it's the next play. Let's go out there. Let's win this game. Like that's the mm-hmm. way I approach life. I'm not at all telling anybody else how to do this.
Right.
I'm insane. I'm not well. And I don't know if you should necessarily be listening to me on this stuff. But I do think it's a good part of that is a good approach to life. Perspective
mm-hmm.
is one of the best friends you will ever have. Being able to take a perspective to life
right.
and just take a step back sometimes and look at life as a whole.
Right, right. It's not necessarily what happens to us in life. It's how we respond to what happens to us in life, right? It's how do we get through that tough time, or how do we realize and enjoy the good times, you know, while we're in it, instead of looking back and saying, you know, well, that was such a great time, you know, nostalgia. That's kind of what that is, right? The place you can never return to. That's what nostalgia is. You can't go back to that thing. And I hear what you're saying with regrets. But you know, it's hard not to in a lot of ways, because you think, you know, wow, what if I had just done that one thing,
mm-hmm.
you know? As you know, like the survey said, it was more what you didn't do than what you did do. Now, if you're in prison, you might be like, well, I regret getting, you know, stealing that whatever, and now I'm in prison kind of thing. I can get that one, you know, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But in the other way of not doing things, but like you said, who knows what would have happened? Things could have turned out. We don't know. That's the thing. That's one of the great, for me, that's one of the great things about life. You never know what's going to happen. You cannot predict how things will go if a certain thing happens.
Whether it is the time machine or any other, you know, time travel movie, we all know how this works, too. You go back and change one thing and everything changes.
Yes.
Every single little thing changes. So I don't know. I don't know how that goes. But I also, I think that there's also something, too, of hanging on to these things oftentimes we're doing, where because it's comfortable to us. We've had this regret for years. We've had this regret for decades. So mainly it's some of it is not even so much having the regret still or feeling it, but just that consistency
of having that security.
That routine.
There's an odd security to it, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the other part of this too, just to wrap up, and you guys can look this one up. I actually encourage you to. I think it's very interesting. Our brains scientifically do not remember everything verbatim.
Thank God.
They can't. Imagine if your brains were able to do that, everybody. We would have no room for anything else. Our brains remember things in more of a Cliff Notes version, in more of a synopsis kind of version. And oftentimes, if it was a bad moment, well, you're just going to remember the bad from it.
Right.
If it was a good moment, you're probably just going to remember the good. Right. And you romanticize these things in our brains. So that regret you have may not be as bad as you think it was. And without it, your life may not be what it is.
Right, right. And if you talk to people with a geodetic memory, the people that, you know, can't forget things, it's a double-edged sword. Yeah, you can remember lots of stuff, but you also remember all the bad stuff. And I am thankful, honestly, that I do not have one of those. I'm like, thank you. Yes, I don't want to have to remember all that bad stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll take a time out, check in with our news and sports and sponsors, and we'll be back with more fun. We're talking decades. What's your most nostalgic decade? Cool. When we come back on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a good one out there. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for joining us. We want to hear from you. 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation and let us know, what decade are you most nostalgic for?
Okay.
This is mostly just about when you were born, but which decade would you say you're most nostalgic about for right now? A new poll looked at it, and we'll take a look at where the average people went and all of these things. Mm-hmm. But I definitely want to hear from all of you of what you are nostalgic for.
Yes.
And certainly having some fun with this one, while also keeping in mind what I was just telling you beforehand, that our brains romanticize the past.
They certainly do.
Which is I mean, mine does it too. I hope people don't think I'm like pointing the finger or anything. I have the same brain. I mean, a little different, let's be honest.
He has an entire show dedicated to 90s music. I mean, come on.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Thank you. Yes. Check out Unlabeled this weekend.
That's right.
Brand new. New episode for you. This is interesting. And looking at this list, at the top of the list, the 1990s are the most nostalgic decade for 24% of Americans.
Okay.
So that's the one that most Americans tend to be the most nostalgic for, mm-hmm. or at least the people that filled out this survey.
Exactly.
The 80s came in next with 22%. The early aughts, the 2000s at 18%.
Wow.
The 1970s at 17%, and the 1960s at 11%. But the 2010s could pass the 60s soon, 9% said their most nostalgic decade.
Hmm.
It also looked at the top 90s things were nostalgic for.
Oh.
And the top five are 90s music, 90s movies and TV shows, video games, fashion, and a tie between the 90s sports and 90s toys.
Okay. All right. So just about everything. Okay. Every pop culture thing you can think of.
I think, the popularity of things like Unlabeled tell you.
Nice. I like that.
It is, in all seriousness, it is something that we've seen a lot of, whether we've been paying attention or not, but a lot of 90s stuff being brought back.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much the actual things, but the ideas or some a little bit. We're taking what we like of this and mm-hmm. using it now. Some of that. There's so many things entertainment-wise with movies and TV shows specifically mm-hmm. that they made attempts at in the 90s, but they didn't have either the technology or our FCC wouldn't allow certain things that they do now.
Right,
network television.
Or cable even, yeah, for that matter, right.
We're also a completely different culture than we were then. And I know I hit on this a lot, but I cannot stress this enough, how big of a deal it was when James Bond took a punch. It changed everything. Every action movie that has come out since then, the hero has blood on them.
Right.
That didn't happen flaws. Before.
Yep.
They have flaws in all these things. Mm-hmm. So that really changed entertainment. Like, not just movies and TV shows, but songs, art, the way mm-hmm. that we depict these things, the way that we see these things. Society, it affected radio. It affected all of every medium there is. Because all of a sudden, people were done with wanting to be talked to like this.
Right.
And they just want to be talked to. Mm-hmm. They just want to hear another voice.
Right.
They don't want everybody putting on airs. That's the last thing we want now.
Right.
We want people to have class, but not to put on airs.
Right.
We want them to be themselves, but a PG version of that. We don't want right. the whole version.
And a great example of that, and I'm saying this not because, and I'm putting the politics of it aside, but I think that's one of the reasons why Rush Limbaugh was so popular, because of the way he spoke to people. He spoke directly to them. And he didn't, like you said, he didn't put on these airs and stuff. You know, he had kind of more of a down-home manner and that kind of stuff. And I think, I'm like, again, putting the politics aside, I think that was one of the reasons why people liked to listen to him.
On the other side of that, Howard Stern became just as popular for the same reasons, mm-hmm. for the same exact reasons. Mm-hmm. And radio got this before anybody, you could say.
That's right.
Because they had to. Yeah. We had to.
They had to change. Yeah.
When we started doing, I look at it as real radio or free form radio. Mm-hmm. We started doing that here. It took a little while, but it got going and it became more and more popular.
Right.
And you look at the ratings, look at the things that people are listening to nowadays and stuff, and mm-hmm. and that's where they're being pulled.
Right.
They don't want perfection. That's not life. You heard yesterday. You heard me doing the Raven. I could have done that perfect. I have all the time in the world. I could sit there and do 20,000 takes
right.
and get it perfect. That's not the radio I do. That's not what I'm about. If
exactly.
you want that, bring somebody else in here.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what our listeners want.
You should give
want.
Them that opening.
That's not what I'm out. That's not what our audience yeah. wants, and that's not what
right.
audiences want in mediums nowadays. So I think that one of the things we are pulling from mm-hmm. is that every decade gets a little closer to that.
Yeah.
And every decade gets a little bit certain. There are outliers here and there, but for the most part, for every mod or every show that was groundbreaking, there were like 90 shows out there that were doing the same old thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have people trying their hardest to break the barriers, to completely do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, you see a family TV show or something like
right.
that. It's gone the complete other way.
It has, really. You're so right. It has changed a lot.
And none of these things necessarily are things we want to completely bring back. You know,
I
think that it's fun, some of this stuff, and we've joked about fashion a million times,
right?
As far as some of that stuff coming back,
right.
But you know,
that's a cycle, eternal cycle. Boy, my goodness.
I don't know. Is there a decade or is there a thing that you're nostalgic for when it comes to this stuff? Because I, you know, we were joking about me having the 90s mm-hmm. mixtape, and I think music is a little of that. But at the same time, I don't want to listen to just 90s music.
Of course not.
Like, I listen to plenty of stuff that just came out this week,
right.
let alone, you know.
Stuff that came way in the past or right now. Exactly. It would get very, very boring if that's all you're listening to, right?
And I can't think of one era or one time that I'm looking back at and I'm saying, oh, I would love to. I'm a big jazz fan. I think I think when it comes to American history, some of my favorite era is the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
I love looking back
yep,
at
me
that.
Too.
It's fascinating. I love looking into those things. Man, as a mixed kid in the 1920s, they wouldn't know what to do with me. I wouldn't last. Growing up where I did and everything,
right.
I would have no opportunities in life, barely any.
Yeah.
And even as an entertainer, good luck with that. Good luck with even getting an audition
mm-hmm.
looking like I do and everything.
Right.
Like, for certain people out there, you have to remember the America you grew up in might be different than the America somebody else grew up
exactly.
in. The 1920s might have been something for you, or you might romanticize mm-hmm. it a certain way. For other people of other cultures, it was a very different time.
Well, and that's the downside of nostalgia. Is because we're looking at it through rose-colored glasses. We're only getting that. And for a lot of it, I think it's people just, it felt good, okay? You remember certain things. It felt good. You're growing up. You're learning things like that. That's why you have the nostalgia. But, man, that may not be what everyone's experience was. And of course, we always, like we keep coming back to, we always push away the bad stuff. We
yeah.
keep that
yeah.
at bay because we want to remember the good stuff. It makes us feel good. It's all about the feels on this one.
We don't fill our photo albums with bad memories.
Right.
No, and we don't usually fill our phones, our modern photo albums, with that way as well.
That's correct.
And this ties into what I was talking about before about regrets and everything. Mm-hmm. I was encouraging about letting those go. I'm encouraging as well about not giving nostalgia too much weight.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being nostalgic about certain things or whatever. Mm-hmm. But to want to go backwards in time is the opposite of life. Life goes one direction. Mm-hmm. Time goes one direction. Mm-hmm. That is the only option we have, is going forward. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the phrase of this state, for goodness sake.
That's right.
Things that bring us back, things that want to kind of be wary of anybody that romanticizes and tells you, we got to go back to this, we got to go back to that. First off, that's impossible. That is impossible.
The biggest thing, you can't do it.
You can't do it. You literally can't.
It's impossible. And
no law, no politician, no person can make that happen.
No.
It is impossible. So as far as these things go, it's great to have them. It's nice to have nostalgia. It's nice to, for me, I like some of the fashion of the 20s.
Yeah,
I love looking at some of that. Mm-hmm. I certainly love a lot of the music from that time. Mm-hmm. But I also have that in context.
Mm-hmm.
All of this stuff comes with context, comes with a bit more to it than just your perspective.
Exactly.
There's a lot of other people living in this world.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
But is it the 20s for you as well? Is it,
I have a couple of decades. And I can't say I have nostalgia for them because I didn't live in those periods. But the 20s is one where I find fascinating, especially with cultural things. I find the 50s to be just amazingly interesting because of so many contradictions in terms of what was going on in the world at the time and what was going on at home at the time in the United States, I mean. And the contrast there, how we view it is really interesting to me, how we look back at that decade and those kinds of things. And the 90s, I guess, is one of them, too. I like learning more about the 90s, the decades that, I teenager and then I graduated high school and college. Or no, high school. Graduated college later. But I graduated high school and was just forming, what's going on? Who am I? That kind of thing, And I think that's part of it, too. The decade that you do those things has more interest because that's when you start forming political opinions and you have relationships and all these kind of things. Yeah,
The late 50s and the early 60s are fascinating to me.
Yeah.
That cultural change, that change, that shift that our whole world was going through, let alone our country. Mm-hmm. It's the only similarity, I think, is the industrial age coming around.
Oh, yes. The industrial revolution.
That. I don't know. I think that a lot of this is going to be fun, but again, in context.
In context. Text people.
We will take a time out. We'll come back. Oh, and it's something we all have in common, by the way, too. Another thing that brings us all together, another thing that we all do, we all get a little nostalgic about things.
Sure.
We all, can have regrets about things, let those go, and keep nostalgia in check.
Yep.
I'll be back with more fun.
Solving all your problems here on the Morning Show.
There we go. Yeah. Done. You're good. And we got 10 minutes of show left, too.
How did we do it? That's I don't know.
I don't know. Every week we do this. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you, getting you ready to wrap up the week here. Hope you're having a good Friday out there. We got our last segment of the week, and we're going to spend it talking a little daylight savings time.
Let's do it.
And we'll get into our schedule as well. But I just wanted to touch on a couple of tips for daylight savings time. A reminder, everybody, that is happening this weekend, getting an extra hour. We are springing forward. Clocks are set ahead by 1 hour.
That's right.
And
No, falling back.
They're falling back an hour. I apologize. I just confused like 90% of you. You guys are smarter than me. You get it.
Yeah, right. We get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So how about preparing for this? What is the best way? Well, gradually adjust your schedule. Now, you can still do that in the next couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
You can tonight and tomorrow night to try to go to bed maybe 15, 20 minutes earlier than usual. That is what they recommend.
Oh, cool.
Just doing that can really, even if you just do it tomorrow night, not even tonight, you can still help your body, but certainly getting in on this early as well.
Mm-hmm.
And getting a good night's sleep tonight will go a long way for how you handle this going forward. Mm-hmm. Trying some relaxation methods. Especially if you've never done these before, you might find a new technique that works really well for you.
Which would work for any time, really, yeah.
Right. There are certainly different ways of doing this that are going to work differently for others.
Mm-hmm.
Basic deep breathing, mindfulness meditation can bring a calm to the mind and body and transition.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, as somebody who has struggled his whole life with meditation,
right.
That it doesn't have to be perfect. It's something that everybody is working
at. Yes.
Everybody that does meditation is working
at. It's, you know, I say anytime you're taking quiet time, you know, for yourself, meditation, prayer, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
There is no right way to do it.
Yeah.
There really isn't. Just find a way that works for you.
Man, the guilt I felt for like the first half of my life that I was praying wrong.
No.
I cannot tell you how guilty I felt because I was doing it wrong.
Surprising, a number of people feel that way. Mm-hmm. And I always tell them, no, there's no wrong way to mm-hmm. do it, people. It's fine.
Set your clocks before bed, certainly a good idea, although nowadays so many of them do it for us.
Yeah, that's true. You don't have to worry about it.
I actually had to help a student of mine like a year or two. It was a couple of years ago, actually,
right.
Because they did not know how to set their digital clock. They did not know where the buttons were on it or anything. I couldn't believe it. I thought they
were they older or younger?
Younger.
And
I thought they were messing with me. And I really did, yeah. And prioritize daylight exposure. Get some vitamin D, everybody.
Oh, yes. Always important.
Get as much sunshine as you can. We're fortunate right now. We've got some
going
on out
there. We do have some sun out. Very nice.
Get out there and get some of that daylight. That can help very much. And upgrade your sleep hygiene. As far as your bedroom environment, having a put-together bedroom, it doesn't have to be perfect, but a little more organized for your brain, whatever that might mean, can help you so much in that relaxation.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And those goes
shockingly enough, yes.
Yeah. And certainly, you know, why not, new sheets? Bring out some new sheets, or mm-hmm. I don't mean brand new sheets. I just mean like clean sheets or something like that. Some of that can also help. It may not seem like a big deal, but these little things can often add up to a mm-hmm. big benefit. So I encourage you to do that, everybody. Oh, and good luck this weekend, everyone, with all that.
And don't forget, go to church at the right time.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's always an issue.
That's a good note. Yeah, I bet it is. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah. Yeah, I bet it is. There is no transition for this, but I did want to wrap up our final segment this week mentioning something. We had some really tough news to kick off the week this week. Mm-hmm. Not just us here at the radio station, but our community. We lost a community leader, in my opinion, in Jackie Carantini.
Mm hmm.
Jackie was just with us last Thursday on Midday Magazine.
That's right.
She's one of our UW Extension representatives. Jackie took the time to focus on subject matter that wasn't always comfortable for people and wasn't always something that you think about, mm-hmm. but took extensive detail and time on these subjects that I know for certain, whether it was you listeners out there telling me or my own parents telling me how much they appreciated the information and the way, and not just the info, but the way Jackie could tell you things.
Yep.
A Neil deGrasse Tyson way of breaking things down to not only where you could understand it, but feel it.
A marvelous communicator.
Yeah.
Those people who can take subjects like what Jackie always talked about, you know, end of life, that sort of thing, and make it not only simple, but not so scary. You know, she was able to do that in a way that, I mean, we do have to appreciate how she did that because not a lot of people can.
Her energy was impalpable and contagious.
Yes.
I joked with her for years that I would just turn her mic on and get out of her way.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of the first interviews I had and one of the first people to make me feel comfortable doing interviewing.
Yeah.
She meant a lot to me, and I know she meant a lot to this community, and this one hurts. The best way to honor her is to come together, to be a part of your community, be involved in your community. Look out for your loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that your loved ones have their things in their ducks in a row when it comes to end of life.
Yes.
And having these subjects and be brave.
So important.
Be brave like she was.
Yeah.
Be brave about these subjects like she was.
Mm-hmm.
And honor people like her in everyday life by doing these things.
Yep.
I'm thinking of her friends, her family, certainly our friends at UW Extension. Greatly appreciate them.
Yep.
Think it's a great idea to also take a look at the interviews we've done with Jackie over the years. You can catch those at civicmedia.us.
That's right.
And hear her voice again.
Yep.
Encourage you to do that. And thank you to her friends and her family, certainly, for sharing Jackie.
Sharing all this stuff, yep.
I want to thank our great listener, Diane, as well. Diane made us some cookies. Thank you, Diane, for that.
Diane, you have no idea how happy you made the Todd Alba show crew, because they were able also to sample your wares, and boy, they were a hit, I got to say.
Big shout out to Todd and the gang for stopping by.
Stopping by yesterday.
It was really good to see them. I hope they come back again. And a shout out to you and the staff for the great Halloween special. Heard such good things about that.
Well, I got to say, this was a great team effort. Of course, everyone picked some great stories and poems to put in there, and it was fun putting it together. I have to say, I really enjoyed it.
We'll keep those kind of things going, everybody.
Yeah.
We got a great lineup for you tonight. Join us for Midday Magazine from 4 to 5. In part 1, Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug will be with us. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that as we continue our candidate interviews with Scott. And in part 2, Rhonda James from the ADRC going to join us to wrap up the week. We'll talk Meals on Wheels and volunteering and some other fun things with our friends over at the EDRC. Mm-hmm. Tonight, Playmakers from 5 to 6. Be sure to join us for a great show. Seth and I will be hanging out. Looking forward to it.
And Dodgers win.
Yes. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Some other things. We want to hear from you. Thanks to our friends at Quality Post Printing for that. And then we will join In Progress, Wisconsin Men's Hockey at Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking about that one. Wisconsin football on the radio dial tomorrow night, 4:30, as Wisconsin is traveling to Iowa for that one. And Wisconsin basketball on Monday at 6 o'clock.
Ooh, lots of sports going on.
A lot of great stuff this weekend. You've got Sunshine Polka Show at 7 with Tim Hubbell. Be sure to join us for that. Terry Talks Nutrition at 8. Our friends at Family Natural Food sponsor that great show by Terry and one of the godfathers of the supplement industry. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Over the Back Fence at 11.
Yes. Yes. It's 2 weeks in a row. Very good. I'm happy to get back in the swing of things.
And our Sunday night lineup, everybody. Join us at 5 to 6 for Director's Cut. Got a fun one lined up for you this week.
We're going to take some of the stories and poems that we did over Halloween, and we're going to put them together. So if you missed it, guess what? You get a second chance.
Yeah, be listening for that. Seth Faces Music from 6 to 8.
Yep, got a repeat this week. I had just spent way too much time on the Halloween show, I got to throw a rerun on there. But they're all good, right? So, So tune in.
Tune in for it, everybody. My dad's favorite show on our network. And Unlabeled from 8 to 9, your 90s mixtape. Got a new one lined up for you this weekend.
Lots of great music on this one, everybody. Yeah, ooh, he dug a little deeper this week, too. I like it.
Yeah, I went into some deep stuff.
Yeah.
There. And support our Elks Lodge, everybody. Our Elks Lodge has their Nightmare Before Christmas party going on to benefit those in need during Christmas time. It's 5 to 7 tomorrow over at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge. Go check that out. And the Winter's Farmers Market.
That's tomorrow from 9 to 1 at the basement of the Moravian Church.
Be good to each other. Have a good weekend, everybody. We will talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.